the first chapter of John. See, in the 18th verse of this first chapter of John, when Jesus was talking about since Adam, that no man had seen God at any time, the only begotten Son. And when he said only, he wasn't really separating begotten from born. You and I had to be born again. He came into existence spiritually alive as God's Son. So when he said only begotten, the only was in references to he was the only human being alive on this whole planet, anywhere. Abraham's bosom, hell, and all of heaven. Of all the human beings alive, he was the only born of God. And that's why he called him the only begotten. But notice what he says about him. He says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, the only one in existence, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Well, this is interesting. He's standing on this planet, and he said he's the true light. And he said, and that light shined in the darkness. And of course, he's talking about the spiritually dead state of the entire human race. And here he stood all alone. Hallelujah. As the only begotten of the Father, and the position he declared himself in is in the bosom of the Father. Well, that's good for us to know, because eventually we received his life. You know, we were born again. And in John, when he went on to write the epistle, he said, as he is, so are we in this world. And that positional truth of as he is was talking about Jesus' humanity. Now, we know he's as much deity. I mean, he's deity and he's humanity. But when he said, as he is, so are we in this world. He says, and because of this, we can have great confidence in the day of judgment, because of a positional truth he was talking about. As he is, so are we in this world. Well, as he is right now in his glorified humanity, is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Well, he said, as he is, so are we in this world. Well, he said here, he is the only begotten of the Father. And he declared his position with the Father while he was standing on this planet, like you and I are. He said, who is in the bosom of the Father? Well, you know the word for bosom is when somebody takes somebody totally into their bosom. And they love them, take care of them. I mean, it's the kind of love that a mother would have for a child, or a father, to actually take them into the bosom, the most intimate part. Well, he said, no man has seen the Father at any time save the Son, the only one born of him. Only one. And he is in the bosom of the Father. Well, as he is, so are we in this world. And as he is in his glorified humanity, well, you and I have received his life, so we're now sons and daughters of God who've been begotten of God, who've been born of God. One of the most important positions you'll come to understand is as he is, so are we in this world. Well, when he was in this world, he was in the bosom of the Father. Well, as he is, we also hold that position in the bosom of the Father. And I can tell you right now, when you lift your hands and worship him, it doesn't take very long to establish yourself in the kind of worship that you will know And you'll know you can't reach out very far when you're in someone's bosom. That you'll touch them and the love and everything they have for you, and that you are in Him, just begin to flow to you. Somebody asked me, you know, about real prosperity. You know, just absolute real prosperity. Not the kind of prosperity that's preached in America here. That kind of prosperity is determined on whether or not the people around you are prosperous. But the prosperity that comes from God is not geographical. The reason Jesus did certain miracles that He did, dividing the fish and loaves, paying His taxes. Now, of course, we have divine order in natural order. And divine order in natural order, there's an MO, a method to God's operation. There's certain laws He set into this earth that things are governed by. And one, you know, is in His law, the way He provided on this planet to feed the masses is through harvest time and seed time. And believe me, the most valuable possession on this whole earth would be a handful of seeds. If radioactivity killed all the plant life in the world, and you had a handful of seeds and a little bit of good ground, King Midas would bring his whole storerooms of gold and trade them for your handful of seeds. Well, you plant those seeds in the ground, they will grow just as quick for an axe murderer as they will for you. Because in God's method of operation, He's made provision. Now things will happen when a whole nation will turn to witchcraft, and then the devil, he gets to affect different things. There will be different things come and disrupt the natural order of things. Well, where God meets our need on a general basis, it's through those same kinds of laws. That He'll make you so wise as you operate in Him. So wise that you'll know how to function in those natural laws and things. And that's the usual MO that a person gets rich on. But when God has to, when He has to, He'll step in with miracles. He'll absolutely step in with miracles. But a lot of people just think, well, all I'm going to do is just seek God all the time and lay down on their back, and the family gets, they get real hungry, and they say, so God says you're supposed to go to work and function in the society. And when all of this natural law is in operation, that's the way I meet needs and things. So you're supposed to function with society. You can't just lay down on your back and say, well, look here, it says God will supply all my need. Not the way you're doing it. You know, but for a certainty, though, we're in His bosom. And for a certainty, God will meet your need under any circumstances. And the real, you know, prosperity of God is not what they're teaching really here, that God exists to prosper you, and you're supposed to give for the sole purpose of Him prospering you. And I've been in the clubs where we swap big offerings off one to another, and usually it doesn't make it much further than that. The true prosperity is to really get to know Him. To really get to know Him. I don't care what nation you're in. You really get to know Him. All that God is will begin to manifest Himself to you in whatever order He's able to operate in. You know, He'll manifest Himself supernaturally to meet your need if necessary. He'll manifest Himself in the natural order of things where seed and harvest supplies the need of a nation. He'll open things up and cause you to prosper in every direction according to what's best for everybody. But one thing that He will do is He will meet your needs. Hallelujah. Well, as He is, so are we in this world. And And as he is right now at the right hand of the Father in his humanity, that life that's in him, I don't have the glorified body yet, but I have the life that's in his spirit. I have that in me. And I'm functioning here as an ambassador in Christ's stead, reconciling the world to God. And I like to mix it up. You know, I like to go right in to hell, anywhere else he wants to send me, where people are trying to get to hell and everything. I'm enjoying it more and more and more, walking in everything he has for the purpose of reconciling the world to him. If it's miracles he needs, then that's what we'll deliver. If it's prosperity, if he needs to meet their needs, then that's what will be delivered. Whatever God wants to do to punch a hole in their humanity to begin to translate them into the kingdom of God, believe me, he is standing by to back you up in every situation. But you've got to know that. See, you have to know that. Well, I enjoy that statement. As he is, so are we in this world. And then he goes on to describe the culmination, because perfect love casts out fear. Fear has torment. And as he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, so are we in this world. Well, when he was in this world, he said he was in the bosom of the Father. Well, I'm in this world. I'm also in the bosom of the Father. Hallelujah. I am a begotten of God. I have been born of God. And I'm right in his heart, in his bosom. I can reach that far and touch him. Hallelujah. Just lift my hands and he goes down my arms. The bosom must capsule you. There it is. There it is. Hallelujah. And I found out that when you worship him excessively, like you're addicted or something, presence, that's how it manifests itself, in presence. Well, in this position that he's give us. He says, I'm the only born of God who has seen him, who is in the bosom of the Father. As he is, so in this world are we in this world. For that reason we have confidence in the day of judgment. Perfect love casts out fear. And obviously in this place that he's etched out for us to walk in, when he said, where I am, that you may be also. And we're capsuled in the heart of the Father. We're in his bosom. And even though we're running around on this planet, in the heart of that love and bosom and his presence and fellowship, obviously, there's a place so free from torment and fear that you can have utmost confidence in him. So much so towards the day of judgment. Have the utmost confidence against the day that I stand in his presence. Because as he is, so are we, so can we be. And we can walk like he walked. Because he said, I am in the Father. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come and receive you unto myself, you'll be where I am. And I am in the bosom of the Father. And even though you're there, you can also walk in the bosom of the Father as he walked. A place of love so free from torment and fear that you can accomplish anything God sets you to do. Do anything, go anywhere, have any need met or meet any need. Have the utmost confidence towards that day that you'll stand before him. I thank him for the grace and the mercy that'll cause him to burn my failures up because I've been born again. But I thank him for the grace more that I derived the strength from to do what he's called me to do. I don't like to walk in the baser side of grace, where you just want to live as much as you can in the flesh and in this world and still be reasonably sure that you're going to enter into heaven. I don't like the baser side of grace. I don't like greasy grace very much. I like the sight of grace that trades my weaknesses for His strength. And because of all that He's provided, there's nothing you can't do. Sometimes people want to feel sorry in my place.
I feel so sorry for you, Brother Roberson, having to walk under that and carry all that.
Don't feel sorry for me.
But you'll carry and say,
no, no. I'm not.
But aren't you?
No.
Isn't your body breaking down under the load?
No. It's building up.
Well, but...
No, don't feel sorry for me. Why should you feel sorry for me? Only reason you need to feel sorry for me is if I am carrying it. But I can assure you I'm not.
Well, you're responsible.
Certainly. And you know a man can't be truly responsible until he knows how to cast the whole of his care. And as long as you hold on to it and take the care, you can never be responsible. But you can be totally responsible when you learn how to cast the care. Oh, I might be pretty tough, can carry quite a bit, but why in the world would I even want to start that business when He's offered to carry it for me?
Well, what part do you carry?
I carry the part that says that I need to keep going from glory to glory until anything that I am carrying or can't do will be separated to Him so it can do. Hallelujah. I used to discipline myself against a problem, you know, attempting to get it out of my life. But then I began to discipline myself to do what permanently changed the problem. I would rather be totally delivered from cigarettes than to discipline myself only against it and hang around smoke-filled rooms. No, I don't smoke. Yeah, I don't smoke, you know. Go ahead, keep puffing while I'm talking. It don't bother me. Friend, may I smoke in your car? Yes, you may, yes. I'd like to discipline myself in what makes the permanent change in any area of my life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, as He is, so are we in this world. But where the real freedom comes when you begin to understand where you are, who you are. And that's what He did when He launched us on the born-again trail. John seemed to know more about it than just about anybody in the Word of God. And Paul, he knew all about it, but he was in such a fight as he knew the law so. And he was always in such a fight with the Judaizers that was trying to bring the churches back underneath keeping the law as part of their salvation. So I found out how free I was from finding out that when Paul was convincing them why they had been freed through the new nature and on the born-again trail, that's the first thing he began to teach me about my freedom and just how free that I was. Well, the other afternoon when I stepped out, and in Galatians, talking about why would you go back under the bondage of the elements of the world and to serve those things who by nature are no God. You observe days and Sabbaths and new moons and feast days and circumcision. He said, after you've been free, after you've been born again, why would you want to bring yourself under something that by no nature is God, where you have His nature, and the only communication that you have with him now is through that nature as the son and the daughter of God. There isn't anything else. Nothing else. We're his sons and we're his daughters. Well, I had to understand how free I'd become, and God used Paul's teachings to demonstrate and to teach them how that the new nature fulfilled a law that they could not, except in accounted righteousness, fulfill through animal sacrifice. But to keep the Ten Commandments, they didn't have a nature that could. But to understand that is to be free. That you and I, in our nature, have been freed from everything. I mean everything, to the degree that God did say you learn the fullness of what you've received and turn the Holy Ghost loose in you. That absolutely nothing should be impossible to you. All things are possible to him that believeth. See? And to him that believeth, all things are possible. For him to make statements like that, you know, it's incredible. Incredible. And so here comes the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, and the only thing he has to work with is that new nature that's been deposited in you as a son and a daughter of God, the new creation you've become, the hidden man of the heart. The only thing the Holy Spirit has to work with is that man. And if he cannot bring him forward, then that's where all failures in religion and taken away of your benefits and your right and everything that we have given to us by God. But if you can be taught who you become, then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and all things absolutely become possible to him that believeth. Well, if the Holy Spirit can just teach you who you become in that new creation, then there's absolutely nothing that he's called you to do that you cannot accomplish. And there's no rights or anything that you have become in God that he will not deliver to you. The question is, can you believe? The devil has had enough time to study the new creation, the sabotage, and he found out the best way to turn us around and turn us over and stop us is by getting us to believe wrong. Because all of it is up to us. So if he can get you in your new creation, the hidden man of the heart, if he can get you in that new nature to dare to believe what you've become, you got to understand the limit's off. Absolutely off. And if you can come to the fullness of what he's made you on this side of heaven, you know, here on this planet where you can do good, drive darkness back and harvest sweet millions into the kingdom, you know. I mean, if he can get over to you what he's made you here while you're still walking here, nothing shall be impossible to you. Well, in that new creation, Jesus said, "My glory I give unto them." Well, he gave me his glory. The position that he attained in the Father, he's given it to me. It was deposited in me. My new nature has a capacity to operate in the glory that he has given to me. Because he said he wanted, "I will that where I am, they may be also, that they may see my glory." He gave it to me. He gave it to you, but he wants you to see it. Well, to see him in the fullness of his glory is the fullness of the position he attained at the right hand of the Father as his son. See, and that's what we're operating as a joint heir with everything Jesus has become in God in his humanity, and an heir of God. An heir of God for everything Jesus inherited as his humanity. Well, we're equal with Jesus in his humanity. That's where the glory is. All that he is, he gave to you. Can you ever come to the place to see what it is? Is there enough information in the Word of God? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Those men that went before us left a legacy. Many of them touched it. There's information in there. That's the only place we can go to find it. And the Holy Ghost said, "Those men went ahead of you." Don't you understand? The firstborn taught them. I taught them, the Holy Spirit said. I brought it to their remembrance and taught them what it meant. They couldn't understand him when they were spiritually dead. I'm the one that taught their new nature. And I'll teach you. And you'll understand what they said. You can save years. Makes a guy want to just go take one of the keys and pray in tongues. Well, I didn't tell you this. In that realm of glory that I saw, I don't know if I saw the fullness of all. But you know, if His glory I give unto you, and He deposited in you as an inheritance. Now the Holy Ghost, you know, curator, the administrator of that inheritance, that He's the one. It is heaven's legal system to make sure that when you believe and know what's yours, that you get it. That you get it. Glory be to God. I can't hardly imagine this. He says, I glorify you, Father. I glorify you because I've finished the work that you gave me to do. So glorify the Son. Glorify me. With the glory that I had with you now, before the world was. I'm going to go back, you know, into my deity as well as my humanity. Well, that makes all that God has available to you too in His glory. Not just the glorified position of Jesus' humanity. He said, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. So then we get that glory too. So if you didn't think you need the supernatural, you got all that back in you up also. I said, is that the last limb? Well, the limb that preceded that, you know, I went into 3 days of judgment. Went out on a trip. Watched God judge some things. Got enough of a foundation to understand it. But then that only lasted about 3 days. And I talked about it for about 2 weeks. But then, when it lifted off of me, there wasn't any more information. And then it was just right after that the glory limb began to put itself on the born-again trail. But if it's God's glory in Jesus and it was the fullness that He was called to operate in, that it could very well be the last limb. If it is the last limb, we're going to be on it a long time. I mean, if not teaching on it, standing on it. Walking out on it. I want the fruit off of that last limb. That's what I want. Hallelujah. Well, all the other limbs were great, but they were life-changing limbs. And it seemed like all those other limbs were the limbs that got you to the glory limb that said, now, this is what you can become. Woo. Well, you know, the closest thing to my heart for years is the suffering of the children. You know, and whenever I get into one of those periods of time where I ranted and raved, I'd always get the maddest at myself and the system and the church for the thousands of little kids that sat in the homes of people who claim covenants. You know, who are twisted up and sick. And I don't know a place that you could send them that they'd come back the next day whole. I mean a boatload. Now I do know that if I loaded up a 747 of children like that, you know, one of those big overseas carriers, and sent it to Jerusalem where Jesus was residing in His glorified body and reigning over the body from there instead of the right hand of the Father. And Jesus had come over to the airport, and guess what? They'd have to have a lot of adults to control those kids on the way home. But that's okay. Which one of you wouldn't want to go on that flight? See no eyes and white eyes. no ears and limbs and missing limbs. And which way you wouldn't want to go? Well, we know that if he was there in his glorified body, that they would come back whole, don't we? Well, in no uncertain terms, when we launched on this thing, he said, all that you're looking for is on this trail. Well, I'm starting to understand that now. I wasn't walking anywhere near, anything near what he had for me. Well, I plan on it. Well, I do know when I stood in front of my friend who had been coming for 5 years, and just the little bit of healing that we operate in, I mean, yet, you can't haul a boatload of kids like that in. I don't know any meeting anywhere in the whole world you could haul them in and bring them back. Yet in Palm Springs, for just one moment, to see that position of glory that Jesus walked in, that in no uncertain terms was the same glory that he had given to us, however much it was. For a moment I felt it, saw it, tasted it. It was much too brief. But I can tell you, when somebody is able to glorify Jesus in the midst of a boatload of kids like that, if they can glorify him, then he will be glorified in them. The cross will take place and those kids will be healed, see? Well, it must cost something to go there, or a whole lot more people would have went there than has gone there. Wouldn't you agree? Well, how could a man go there if he didn't first see that position? And all the steps it took just to see that position. No wonder not very many get there. Because just at the door of the born-again trail, just at the door of praying in tongues, when you teach somebody about praying in tongues, just that door that takes the first baby step to be taught by the Spirit and your Spirit from glory to glory, just that first baby step teaching somebody to be consistent in praying in tongues, it seems like hell gathers together to see to it that you will not do that. I mean, you're not going to finish a course if you can't take the first step. So it's much easier to abort you at A than it is Z. I mean, when you're 20-pound weakling, the devil comes in with a great big pair of gloves and just beats your face all the way down on the mat. But the thing is, he cannot give you the knockout punch. You think he can, but if you keep getting up, you'll find out he's the one that ends up running.
You don't understand.
Of course I don't understand. I've never been through it. Hallelujah. Well, how do we get there, Brother Roberson? Well, I suppose on that glory limb. He's going to teach me anything else I need to know in the transition and seeking him. But to tell you what I've already saw, I can tell you, but I can't tell you about how to get there only through the tree limbs that we've already put on the born again trail. It's funny, we got this trail and then we got limbs on it. Well, in the old days they talked like that. Take the limb to the right. Fork is, and a fork goes away. A limb lives off the tree. Hallelujah. I did after that was on me, and I worshiped him and prayed, and then I become aware of a position that I had to hold or attain to be able to even come close to that. Fullness of the glory. My glory I give unto you. He gave it to you. It's all deposited in you in the new nature. You've got it. He said, a servant. He said, he that serves me, him will my Father honor. And where I am, there he'll be also. He said, I would that they be where I am, that they may behold my glory. Well, he gave us his glory. He wants you to behold it. He wants you to behold it. Well, you're called to, Brother Roberson. No. No, he gave this to every one businessman. You know, he gave this position to everyone that wants it. Helps governments, businessman. He wants you to walk in the fullness, be aware of spiritually dead people around you, and fulfill your calling in the body so all the measures working together can cause the most effective functioning of the body of Christ as a whole. When you negate, you leave a hole somewhere. God never called you to be this, the occupant of His body and just sit there and occupy it. You are a member that supplies a function to the operating body of Christ, the same way my hand does, or my finger. And each joint that connects another member of the body supplies an increase to the body as a whole. That's what he meant by each joint that supplieth. He didn't mean that life was coming out of the joint. It meant connected from this joint down this little finger. And as small as it is, when I grab a hold of something, it offers itself to the rest of my body to hang on to something that I need. So that joint, from this joint to here, supplies a necessary function in the body. I can get by without it, but not as good. It doesn't matter what you call to be. What does matter is you can walk in the fullness of His glory, and as He is, you can be in this world. After a while, it's not the calling that you hold that turns you on. It's your fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Well, I could tell you a little bit about what I saw. In my spirit, I was transported to a place of peace. Now, this seemed to be the major qualifying factor. I just went there to explain to you how I went there. It's hard. I just found myself in the Spirit and in that position for just a small period of time. I wished that I occupied that position. But it was a place of peace, but to understand how strong the peace was, you'd have to say, who have confidence in the day of judgment, as He is, so when this world perfect love casts out all torment and fear. Somehow, I totally embraced in the bosom of the Father. So here I am in this ultimate place of peace where my senses, my flesh, every part of me needed no other source of nurture, confidence, needed nothing. No other source of nurturing, no matter how long or where that I was in that position of peace, it wouldn't matter. My substance and total sustaining was in that love of God, in that place of peace where I needed no outside source or confirmation or nourishment or feeding, absolutely no reliance, no dependability. Outside of that place, I needed no subsidizing, needed absolutely nothing except what I received from Him in that place. I said, this at this place that a man can have with you. Have any attained? Yes. Yes. Man can have this. Yes. But let me see now. Why was the main importance of this place of peace? What was the big importance of it? Why was it so important? Because you become absolutely impenetrable. Unpenetrable by by someone, Satan, who would come and what he would operate against you. How can I put this? What he could operate against you would be impenetrable, because that place in him is the place that he absolutely unstoppable. So it shouldn't be a mystery to us people. It shouldn't be a mystery that a long time ago he started telling to get into love and into peace and to begin to walk that and quit hurting people. Get into compassion. Get into his love and forgive everything. No wonder. No wonder, because it's that position in him that's impenetrable as far as Satan's concerned. Hallelujah. Can you imagine a revival so strong? Let me just ask you. You child born Down syndrome. Your neighbor's child was born Down syndrome. In fact, you belong to a support group. You know, 10, 15 people, and so you all got together and tried to figure out the best by your children. And one day you went. One day you went to the support group for your Down syndrome child. And three of them was in the group. And they brought their 10 and 11 year, 12 year olds. And they were sitting there in the meeting perfectly whole. What would the other 11 or 12 people do? Would there be anything that would stand in your way to getting to that meeting? Would hawking your house, your lands, would that stand in your way? What would stand in your way? Would you take the roof off of a man's house to get there? I'd take more than a roof. I'd bulldoze that thing down. Try to keep me out of this meeting. You better run. I'll land a 747 right in the middle of you. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. Now, hypothetically speaking, if somebody opened up the glory realm to heaven like that, where the glory of Jesus could be manifested in your midst. Now, let me ask you, where do you think Satan would be? He'd be defeated, all right. Where do you think? I mean, in the world, do you think he would be following around people who were helping him? Do you think he'd be bothering people who are preaching half-truths? Just how dangerous would a group of people like that be? Do you think he would come and everything that wasn't nailed down would be carried away in a tornado? How would you survive that? In fact, Satan so centered in on the apostles, Jesus said, Peter, Satan has wanted to sift you. See, he would die. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. When you're converted, strengthen you, brother. These prayers Jesus prayed for us, I've kept these in my name. And he couldn't penetrate. He says, but oh, Father, now, if I'm going, I pray that you keep these in your name. That's how dangerous he is. Well, you know, there's a place in him where those kids don't have to suffer the marks that Adam left on them. He said so. Just because Very few people have made it past the flesh far enough. Why would you accept their failure? A lot of people around here, when the devil couldn't stop you, you know, you that have got first the impasses of falling out of prayer, that he couldn't stop you, he was really afraid that one day you'd come to this. He couldn't stop you. If you notice that you survived the first levels that is assigned to stopping people like that, did you notice that when he couldn't move you, he just started beating everybody around you to death? One time Tim and Leah was with me in Brazil, and it was about the second year or third year I'd went there. And some of the preachers was taking a beating, and at the same time others were beginning to walk into power. And I believe I taught a fasting series coupled in together with Satan's war machine. So all those preachers was in the room, and I badgered them into, you want to know what Jesus looked like? You want to know what the devil looks like, you know. The Word of God paints the picture of Jesus. You want to know what the devil looks like? I said, I've got an avid, perfect description of him. I know exactly what he looks like. Would you like to know what he looks like? And they're going, yes, yes. I said, would you like me to draw a picture? I got a chalkboard and some chalk. I said, I'll draw a picture of him. This is exactly what Satan looks like. Exactly. And I reached up and I said, whatever it was that you are blaming for taking you out of prayer is what he looks like.
Am I going to get into heaven?
He's got a place for you. Well, what if I go all the way with this? My God. He has a place for you. Can you imagine Him greeting you? Him greeting you. And you were responsible for helping him turn billions to the gospel. Hallelujah. I tell you. Glory be to God. While I didn't get to trace that life. Because as Jesus progresses in teaching on that life, it gets stronger and stronger as we go through John chapter, you know, chapter 1 and chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 5 and 6. I mean, all that life, you can trace that life, and he talks differently about it and uses different parables to say the same thing, to say the same thing, to say the same thing. Finally, we see it for His glory. Hallelujah. Woo! I'll tell you one thing. I'm sure glad I live here. Yeah.